Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is Karma Spence, your host. Today we are speaking with Shay Oliveria, who is a speaker and author of the book Money Matters, the Get It Done in 1 Minute Workbook. Hello, Shay, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers.
Hi, thanks so much for having me here.
Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little bit about your journey to success in public speaking?
Sure. Well, I began public speaking in the fourth grade. My very first public speech was part of Where the Wild Things Are in school. And after graduate school, I worked at a nonprofit where I hired speakers. And I started thinking, how do I do that? I really love being able to watch them work. And I think I can do that, but I don't know how to get started. So I kept trying to figure out as much information as I could about it. And after a while, I had an awesome opportunity to speak at a citywide truancy program for the city of Philadelphia. And I went and I gave my speech, and I was so nervous that I hardly looked up. And I looked up towards the end, and I noticed that more people had crowded into my room, and they just looked absolutely captivated. And I thought, wow, I did it. I have a gift. So that was awesome experience. And after that, I gained the courage to kind of start speaking anywhere that would have me.
It can be addictive.
It can. My first about, I would say, 20 speeches were free that I volunteered, no fee, to the community to kind of get my legs, as it were. It took time a little bit. Really, the most important thing was I had to change my mind state. When I started, I was a little bit nervous and still kind of thinking, who am I to speak? Who's really going to listen to me? It really took a change in my mind state, and I noticed that the more that I believed in myself, the more the bookings picked up.
Very true in so many aspects of life is that it's amazing what you think about yourself somehow projects out there into the universe and affects your success.
It does. It does. The more you believe in yourself gives you confidence. And at first, I thought that who am I to be speaking to these people? Sometimes I'm in rooms with people that are older than me or people that I would consider to be more successful than me. And those nervous feelings of who am I to be giving this speech come up. But the more you do it, the more you gain confidence from it, the more you start thinking, who am I not to be? We all have these awesome, wonderful gifts. And it's really almost our duty to be able to share those gifts with people.
You know, one thing you just said has been a definite issue in my life is that, if someone's older than me, then they must be better than me.
Yes.
And it took me a while to finally realize that age has nothing to do with anything. It just means that's how long you've been on the planet.
Right. We're all on our own journey. We're all having our own experiences.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something that we can all learn from each other.
There are people who are older than me that don't know things I know, and there are people who are younger than me that know things that I don't know, and it's all good.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of being able to share with people. If I had the time, I would listen to a speaker every single day. There's just so much good stuff out there in the world and perspective. I tell people all the time, I can hear something 500 times, but maybe I just hear it a certain way when someone says it this time that makes it sink in.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's an advice that I give my clients a lot is that it's not so much that there are a lot of people saying the same message as you are. It's that there are people who can only hear it from you.
Yes. Yes, that's key. That's key. And I think at the end of the day, obviously, speaking profession is filled with people. And I think sometimes people can view that as a negative, say,
right.
Well, there are 800 people already speaking on that topic. But like you said, at the end of the day, you are here uniquely placed with your voice and your experience so that you could put it out in your way. And I know my work is primarily around youth. So high school, college kids, primarily people under 30. And my gift is that I look like a little kid. Well, my whole life, I thought that was a problem. You know, I wanted to look older. I wanted to be taller. But now it's great because I'm 32 years old, but I still look young like them. So when I go and stand up on that stage or in front of that podium and they're looking up and they're like, wow, you're talking to me about finances in a way that makes sense to me. They'll listen to MTV and BET and the radio, and there are some awesome people out there speaking on personal finance. But sometimes it takes me comparing it to a Green Day song or comparing it to the latest movie that's out to just make it click.
Right. Imagine, if you will, you are a public speaking superhero.
Yes.
What do you think would be your main superpower?
My main superpower would be the ability to read the room. That's right. I'd have some awesome glasses, and that would be my superpower. At the end of the day, regardless how good of a speaker you are, you have to hone your message to whatever's going on in the room at that moment. A lot of speakers will do the pre-surveys. So before we get into the room, we've spoken with supervisors or the coordinators, whoever is the one that brought us into the organization.
Right.
And we may have even sent out a little brief questionnaire to get some ideas to incorporate into the speech to make it more personal to that group. But when you walk on the stage, you don't know what may have happened 5 minutes before they came in.
Right.
And my personality, very jovial, very upbeat, very humorous, which is great. But if I walk in the room and everyone is somber, I have to know that and recognize that to be able to bring them to where I need them to be. They can't hear my message if they're not understanding the way I'm relating it to them. And I think that's very key. Body language, looking at them in the eyes, noticing, do they need to get up? When I speak, I always call them workshops. I very rarely call them speeches because I want us to get up and interact with each other. I want you to feel my message in the body. And personal finance isn't necessarily something you think of as particularly physical. But I think that's one of the things that helps people to hear my message, because I want you to get up and I want you to grasp something, or I want you to do an exercise that talks about emotional spending. I want you to interact with the person next to you. But if they come into the room and they're not ready to get up and stand up and move and do all these things, I can't force it on them, right? I have to know where they are so that I can bring them emotionally to the place I need them to be so that they can hear my message. So I have awesome, awesome goggles on.
So what kind of advice would you give someone if they want to develop that particular superpower of reading the room?
Well, the first thing I tell them is become a student of life. This is one of those things that you really can't learn in the traditional sense. You have to just get out there and know people. You have to watch everyone and everything around you. Try to read books, view art, attend plays, watch TV, anything that will help you better understand people and culture. And specifically, if you're going into an event with a specific group of people, say scientists or college students in a particular city or whatever, do your homework. To be able to read the room, you have to understand the culture of that group. So read their local newspaper. Try to find some things online. There's never such a thing as over-preparation. Reading the room has a lot to do with body language. I've been in rooms where I'm working with adjudicated youth, kids that have been in prison or probation or jail or something like that, and I walk in and they're all slouching in their chairs. Now, if I was in a group of college students, I might take that as disrespect. Why are they slouching? Are they not really ready to participate? What's going on with them? But because I've done a little bit of homework around the culture of youth involved in gangs and things like that, I'm going to look at it a little bit differently. So that means
right.
I'm going to approach it a little bit differently. So do your homework, become a student of life, be open to everything. You walk into the room and you might think you know who's going to be there, but maybe it's going to surprise you.
Right.
Just be open to as much as you possibly can. Be familiar and be available. Be emotionally available to the group. At the end of the day, we've all heard the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you're coming up to the podium and you're not ready to reach out to this group emotionally and really make it applicable to that specific group, they'll listen. But how much are they actually going to take into their everyday life? How much is your message going to actually change their life? For most speakers, I think that's what we're trying to do. We really feel like we have a message that can help people. And to be able to help them, they have to be willing to let us in.
Well, you know, one thing you said there really struck home for me, and that was the idea of knowing the culture of that group.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people, when they think of culture, they think of a country or maybe a state. But cultures can actually develop within much smaller groups.
Definitely.
And each company, in fact, each department within a company can have a different culture.
Yes.
And so it is something that you need to keep in mind, because same body language can mean different things in different cultures, and the words you choose, just a wealth of different things. And this is something that a lot of the people I've been speaking with have said, is that connection to your audience is so important, and that if you can't connect, they aren't going to take away anything from your message, so why are you talking in the first place?
It's so true. It's so true, and I think that piece of culture is key. Like
yeah.
you said, we've all, as speakers, had this happen. Most of us kind of have a set keynote that we give, and you might tweak it a little bit for a specific group, but you think, okay, I just gave this speech to accounting at Microsoft. Awesome. So then they say, oh, that went so well. We'd love to have you come back and give that same speech to our sales managers, right? And you think, oh, great, it's the same company.
Right.
I'm going to deliver the same speech. But when you get into the room, you realize that that group of accountants, like you said, had a whole different culture and really needed something a little bit different from that speech than the sales managers might need.
Right.
And I'm glad that you pointed that out, because as you're building your speaking career, acknowledgement of the people in the room and their emotional state and their cultural understanding is just, I cannot emphasize it enough. I cannot. You mentioned that the other speakers, right, were all in agreement.
Right.
You can't relate to them if you can't make it applicable in their very small daily life. They're not going to care. They're not going to take it with them. And we've all had experiences where you go to conferences and you hear these speakers, and they might be interesting or funny or whatever. Take their materials, you throw them in your folder, right? And then you find that bag next year when you're going to next year's conference. And you haven't thought about it since. But then there's that speaker that they were able to just touch you in some way, and you were able to say, wow, I've experienced that, or I know what they're talking about, or that brought up something for me on an emotional level.
Right.
And those are the ones that you go and you talk to, your spouse. Wow, the speaker, oh my gosh, your coworker.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you guys sent me to that training. And I think at the end of the day, that's all what we're striving towards.
Right. In fact, one of the people I have interviewed for this program mentioned that the person can actually be a bad public speaker on a more superficial level, but because they still connected with the audience, the content connected, everyone wants to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
They may be umming, awing, they may be staring at their notes, all those things that you're not supposed to do as a public speaker, but that connection became so powerful that all that superficial stuff didn't matter. Not that I'm saying you should go around doing that. Obviously, you want to bring the most power to your presentation as possible, but it's...
At the end of the day, one or the other, I would choose being able to emotionally connect.
Right.
And every now and then, and this may sound strange, but I think it's a very, very key point. We all have different styles, right? And there is no right or wrong. But you have to learn how to use whatever it is that it's your natural style in a way that will connect with the audience. And so even if you are that person that maybe is a little bit shy or isn't the most humorous person or whatever you think may be a negative, there's a way to turn that into a positive. And if you're telling a story that's relevant to the group and emotional to you, maybe it's a good thing then that you're maybe taking your time telling the story and pausing at the right places and doing these things. Sometimes I hear people say that they don't have the quote-unquote skill to be a public speaker. And I'm sure we've all heard the saying, if you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. I mean, I've been in some wonderful national conferences and different training events where the speaker had information that was really vital to my career. But it was presented in such a way that I could not wait to get out of the room. I just could not. And then, like you said, there have been people that maybe the information wasn't quite so vital to my very existence, but they said it with such glee and such happiness. It made me excited, too. Statistics, yes! Statistical analysis, whoa! Yeah. And at the end of the day, that counts for something.
It does.
That counts for something. People always say that about me and personal finance. I speak to groups as young as fourth grade, and they'll say, they're little kids, I don't think they're going to understand what you're saying, or I don't think they need this, or whatever it is. And I'll show them the video. And they're like, what are you guys doing? Why are you running? Why is everyone laughing? This is awesome. What's going on? It's like that passion piece can turn any subject, any subject, to something that makes people want to get involved.
Right. And it's those experiences at such a young age that set the stage for a much more successful future.
Get out of my head. All right? We've all had the experience of saying, how come I didn't know that earlier? If I would have only known that 20 years ago or something like that.
And even if they don't retain all the information, the seed was planted, so when they hear it again later, it takes root much more easily.
Right? And it's behavior. When we think about, as adults, how many of us have phobias around money? How many of us have phobias around public speaking? A lot of times, those things are rooted to something that happened to us as children. And so if you have a positive experience, it isn't so much about, I remember compound interest, or I remember whatever. You just remember, wow, personal finance was fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
And then when it comes up again, you don't have those negative feelings, right? You're like, wow, I'm excited. I can't wait to do this. And just cannot be underestimated. Whatever you're speaking about, if it's taxes, domestic violence, anything, you have to create a positive interaction with your audience for them to be able to hear your message and then put it into action. That's the key thing. I'll probably say it 15 times during this thing. Take your message and put it into action, right? It doesn't do anyone any good so that you stood up and spoke, they all listened intently, and then went on about their lives and nothing changed.
Right.
Right? We want to get them the information that they need to be better employees, better parents, better citizens of humanity. Whatever your topic is, we're going to motivate these folks to go into their lives and make some key changes. We're helping them along their path, whatever that might be, whatever your topic is.
Shay, it was very clear that you were practicing what you preach through this call. So,
thank you.
So I think this has been a very valuable call. I really enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you again for being on this program. This is the end of this episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is Karma Spence, your host, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on her picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.